save now, deliver now, heal now, appoint now, strengthen now. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Let the church say amen.
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 And amen again.
Amen.
You may take your seats. It is imperative that we begin to saturate ourselves around the things of God, everything that God has to say, everything God has going on. So therefore, we've been blessed to bring into you a revival that's starting this Wednesday, this Thursday, and this Friday,
right on
7 o'clock nightly, whereby you will be empowered, enriched, and enlightened by the power of God. So mark your calendars, press your way in, be here, as God has given you an appointment to do so. Amen. Amen. And amen. Turn your Bible to the book of Judges. We want to continue our lesson series.
And tell them to put it
on
the floor right by him.
Right by him?
When you get to the book of Judges,
he said, put this on the floor right by you. It's recording.
We return to the 13th chapter. Give me a chair. We're going to have our Bible confession. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that I was blessed and fortunate enough to be so handsome in my early days that your first lady, Pastor P, went out of her way to get me.
Okay.
Is that true?
She don't like me to tell the true story, but
I know you was true.
It ain't my version.
Your truth.
It's facts.
It's your truth. You got it right.
I was a high school superstar in basketball.
That's your truth. Your truth.
You the one told me you showed up to
your
my
truth.
House uninvited in a cab.
Your truth. Your truth.
You and your friend.
Yeah.
You told
get
me
Mike.
That. Don't hear no Mike. You don't need nobody. You don't need no feedback from the truth.
I gotta say something.
Her infatuation over.
You funny. Don't tell them.
Was
don't
so
y'all
awesome
believe, Pastor.
And overwhelming. That I see her again years later at the Club Caribbean. We weren't always saying. I'm letting you know how God set up a defining moment to bless my life. And I seen a group of women coming out of the club as I was going in. It was about 5, 6 of them. And I looked at the little pack of women. And I turned around, followed them around the corner. And as they was getting ready to go into the parking lot, I was on the other side of the street, and I had a patent word I used to say. A. And I stood there with my patented lean. I said, A, come here. All 5 of them turned around. I'm in church. I'm telling facts and the truth.
Your truth.
And they all started giggling and got into a huddle. And then all of a sudden, they threw her out of the pack.
That is true.
And I evaluated it. I said, come here. And she came across the street.
Right.
Lo and behold, that was the end.
You are funny.
That story didn't happen. I wouldn't be before you preaching. God has a divine way of putting two people that need to be together for his purpose to get them together.
Funny.
Thank you.
And if I wasn't a Duke at that time, they used to call me the Duke.
He don't tell the whole story. His part of the story.
I wouldn't have never
been. Right, you know, that's funny.
First lady. But due to the fact God had a bigger plan than my lusts at that time.
He did.
I had to be introduced to her parents. Because me and God did not talk at all. I didn't believe, didn't think he was real. So he used my talents, my charm, and my beauty to ruin one that could change my life forever.
You're funny. You're funny.
It's the truth before God. I got around her parents, and that's when my life began to change for the uttermost bliss, because their assignment was to introduce to me their God.
Amen, yes.
And I thank God for that moment.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God for Pastor P being pretty to attract me. God knows what you need, who you need to be with. And I'm still blessed and happy 37 and a half years later.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful.
And that is a true story. When I write my book, that has to be incorporated.
Okay.
Amen. So here, we find one that did the opposite. We are in the book of Judges, chapter number 13. I'm going to begin to give you a story about a man that we all love his actions, but we also have to respect the decisions and choices he made. I want to give you a narrative about the hero man of Samson. His strengths and his weaknesses. This is one that a lot of people counted out. As you know, Samson was famous for his heroic things that he did. He killed a lion. And then from that, he killed 30 Philistines. And then from that point, he graduated and killed 1,000 Philistines with the jaw of an ass. He was so great that he took away and carried away with great power and strength the gates of Gaza. But he had some weaknesses. But before we begin to define those, let us look here at verse number 4, and we're going to read verse 5, but let's begin at number 3 first. Bible says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. That word Nazarite means to set apart, to separate for a sacred purpose. And I believe in my spirit and in my heart that every man of God has been separated for a sacred purpose. Verses 24 and 25, it says, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And so Samson's purpose was to deliver Israel. And as a man of God, our purpose is to serve and to protect and to lead our family. As a man, we have a purpose to provide and to cover our family. But we have to understand that if you don't know your weaknesses, you can be deceived and you shall be seduced. Men today and men of yesterday and men of the Bible, that I have three different principles that we have to really be aware of. It's in our DNA, but we have to be careful. We seek power and authority. In other words, men seek fame. Man really wants the power and he wants the authority along with the fame. It's just in our DNA. That's why you have men that really don't equate to anything in life, small things, but when they begin to tell stories of how they used to be, that'll let you know they were seeking fame. Another thing that men seek for is women and ladies. That's just how it is, sisters. I constantly tell women, be careful, because we will appear to be a saint, but deep down, we just have one agenda. Amen. And the other thing that men wants to and love to seek for is wealth and money. We think that will complete a man, power, authority, fame. Ladies or the woman, and wealth and money. These are components that's in our DNA. But without the Holy Spirit, you will seek these things. But without the Holy Spirit, you will fail or you will be seduced by these things. That's why we cannot separate the two, one from another. Seeking these or being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it is so damaging, because a man has a covenant with God. As a Nazarite, have a covenant with God. And our covenant that we have with God is to lead and to serve and to cover our families. Yes. A real man is one that spends time and is committed to his family. Yes. That's a real man. And it will be hard for you to continue that path without being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because without the power of the Holy Spirit, we will seek these things. We will find these things. But these things we will not corral or apprehend to make a fine line of foundation that will give us stability and will sustain us in life. I'm here just telling you the truth. You will never leave a
rather, that inspiration to seek power, to seek authority. You want your name called. I don't care where you come from, black, white, yellow, green, blue, purple, it is in a man's DNA. Men is effectuated by women and ladies. But in order for you to narrow it down to one and be committed to one, regardless of how toxic it may appear to be or how glorious it may appear to get, you need the Holy Spirit to sustain it.
Amen.
And men is defined by wealth. We're defined by success and money and prosperity. When we have conversations, we don't talk about how many children we have. We don't talk about what our kids may be doing. We don't talk about how well our wife is. We talk about substance. And without the Holy Spirit, these things will begin to consume our lives, and we will seek and chase after these things regardless of compromising our moral values or integrity or God. You better hear me. A man that's not filled with the Holy Spirit is a man that could be dangerous to society. Because he's strong enough and witty enough to penetrate all these avenues. Yes, he's cunning enough to get his way. But without the Holy Spirit, there would be no restraints, no rejection, you know, and no denial. We would do anything and above anything to go and conquer. When it comes to the fame thing, we go out and create lies about our future, our past, rather. Amen. One thing I always chuckle about and laugh about, men always want to be tough guys. Every man, I don't care if he look like Barney Rubble, he is a tough guy in his own right. He don't slap somebody and defeated somebody along the way. He conquered another individual. Amen. And he'd take that like he'd just been in fights every week. It's all right. They'll let you know that there's something going on with that man. And then God forbid, you can't leave out the ladies. Without the Holy Spirit, we won't be satisfied with one. Or we won't be satisfied with the one for a period of time. Seem like we treat it as a game. Amen. I'm not going to go there with the ladies, because a man cannot be a player unless the ladies give in. Amen. So that's another subject. Amen. If you keep the bar so low that I don't have to jump over, I can just trot over, you in trouble. Amen. Amen. Let me keep it over to the man's side. And I want to talk about the desperation of women, you know, reducing, never mind, say, Pastor, stay home. That's why they have strong talks with the ladies, especially when we was on Barbary Terrace. Yeah. And we had the Freedom House down the street. What's the Freedom House? It's a house where they house men that had addictive problems. They couldn't support no family. They couldn't even give you a Happy Meal from McDonald's. But yet, they was packed out in the back of my church. Four rows filled up with them from the Freedom House. I'm thinking they was there to hear the word to get their lives changed. They was there scoping and scouting out the weak and the silly.
They sure was.
And the director came to me and said, Pastor, can you please talk to your ladies? I said, about what? They're giving money to these guys. If they're giving money, they give them something else too. And I talked with them because I was upset. But let me just change course and get back. If you wasn't weak, we can't be players. You do are codependent sometimes to our behavior. Y'all better hear me. If you starving for affection, you better pray. Because that type of affection is the cheap affection of someone coming from the Freedom House. Someone marching up in your camp without a job.
And no car, no house, no nothing.
Or someone have a job, and got a pretty car, but no money in the bank and no credit cards. You don't hear from that person until once a week. You telling your mama and dad and everybody in your house about him. He show up with three toes. I'll teach y'all on that something later. But the bottom line is, a man has been ordained by God. You have a covenant agreement with God to cover, to serve, to lead your family. And here Samson was set aside, and he was set aside for this purpose. And I believe the reason why men have problems is because they don't understand or really know their purpose. They rather announce their purpose instead of becoming to be their purpose.
Amen. Yes, sir.
They rather tell you their purpose instead of giving you evidence of their purpose. Amen. They dream their purpose, and they tell you about their purpose like it's a reality. And you looking for evidence, and it take the woman years to find out that he ain't nowhere near his purpose. He's just blowing smoke up my you-know-what. Sooner or later, it will speak. And here we find this great man, Samson, was trained and reared up in the right way. This great man Samson was raised up by his parents believing God. And you have to have the spirit of a Nazarite. You have to know the ways and the conducts of a Nazarite. Amen. And he was flowing in his ways until he started smelling himself. If you notice or not, a man starts off right until he is introduced to success. Until he introduced to one of the three things I just told you. Success, power, fame, women, or money. Whenever he is introduced to that without no foundation, without no acts of establishing who you are, when you get it too early, you will misuse it and abuse it.
That's right.
And so Samson decided to play around with the enemy. One of their covenants right is you don't marry outside of the family or the race. You don't marry the enemy that's trying to take you out. And so he fell in love with a Philistine woman. This is a universal principle. That's why people don't want to bring their mates home to meet their parents. I'm talking about God-fearing parents. Because one of your parents is going to have a problem. And you need to just take that advice and hold on to it. Samson went against what his dad taught him. He went against what his mama told him. Because he knew the Nazarite creed. He knew the Nazarite covenant with God. So when you start playing with fire, I know you know the phrase, you get burnt. But how many times you gonna get burnt by it? Amen. So he started playing with this woman. She loved him at the beginning. But she was committed to her group. She was committed to be a Philistine woman. She was committed to be whoever she was, but not living for God. That's why if you're going to live for God, you better deal with everything that's about God. I couldn't be what I needed to be to this woman until I was a man of God. immediately warned her about me. You got to be careful with that one.
Is he crazy?
Amen. He's not the ones that you used to date. This man is different. You don't want to play with him. I didn't know how different I was. Amen. But then they knew that I had her hook, line, and sinker.
Give me a mic.
I went fishing and I pulled it in. But I fell in love with my catch too.
Stop it. Stop it.
I'm just telling you the truth. I fell in love with my catch.
Leave me alone.
But the catch had some guidelines.
Yes, you did.
And she was not going to break those guidelines for anybody. And she had a support group, her parents. I might be this, I might be this, but they had enough power, they had enough confidence that if we get this man around our God, something will happen. And one of her things was, if you're going to get some of this, that's right. Y'all grown folks.
Now
you're surprised how much your teenagers and your single-digit kids know too. She said, if you're going to play around with this, you're going to have to come to church. And I was a player. I wasn't afraid of nothing. No, I'll come to your church. Because I know that ain't about nothing. It ain't going to change me. That ain't about nothing. Amen. Half them jokers up in there is hypocrites anyway, so I can handle that. Nobody gonna put no pressure on me. If I wanna play with it, I'm coming. And I can. But lo and behold, I ran into something that I had no authority, no power over. I ran into something that had a tough guy on the floor crying like a little baby. And didn't want nobody to know about it. I ran into something that when I would talk to her on the phone, things start changing. I ran into something that exposed a void in my life and I needed to be filled. I ran into something. And I know I'm talking to somebody up in here. You get ready to date somebody and you about to, you know, deviate from your covenant ways. You won't win that way. If he don't like your God, he don't like you. If he don't want to serve your God, he ain't going to serve you. If he ain't going to let his God lead him, he ain't going to lead you.
Amen.
Amen. You better know that. I wasn't no punk. I was a rough rider. I remember the first time she told me, she said, look, if you're going to be serious about me, you got to get rid of your book and all those women.
That's right, because we don't play that.
It wasn't easy because you know when you have a name that's famous. Samson was famous. Samson had power and Samson had authority. I had power, authority, and I was famous too. Amen. I snapped my finger, look at a woman, tell her to come in, she'd come over. I'm telling you the truth.
That's how men think.
I'm telling you the truth.
This is really how they think.
But she held her cause. She had a support group. Amen. I couldn't have told you the end of the story where I'm going to end up now. They really didn't know, but they believed. If anybody gonna have my baby girl at the altar, he gonna know God.
Amen. Amen.
At least we stand a chance of winning life. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And so this brother started messing around with this Philistine woman. And this Philistine woman began to change his heart, began to mess him up. Now instead of him working for the Lord, he was showing off for the Lord. Instead of him really, really using the power and the anointing that God gave him to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines, He was beating up and killing the Philistines for spoil and for gain.
That's right.
In other words, he started pimping his talents, started pimping his success.
Right. That's right.
He started taking advantage of his success, and he lost his way of what a man should be.
Amen.
Am I talking to you? Are you forfeiting people calling your name? Are you smelling yourself so much that you're going to give up on your God to chase a momentary glimpse of being famous?
Success, that's right.
So the Bible says in chapter number 16, let's go there, after he was playing with this woman. Say, playing with fire. Some of you right now is playing with fire. Some of you right now is doing stuff that you should not be doing. You playing around with this power and authority you got, it will turn on you. You playing around because you know you and your wife might be on a little blink, and you get kind of tired. Now somebody blowing at you and rubbing your bald head or looking at you in a different way. Now you think you want it.
Oh, you better stop it.
You got to understand, you got to start this thing over again. You got to go back to you to play this woman. The devil got you all tricked up, got you all blowed up. Sooner or later, it's going to come to the surface, and she's going to look at you and walk away from you, and then you're going to want to go back to your wife, and she ain't going to have nothing to do with you.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. So Samson started playing around with this woman. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies. You have to understand the power that you have. You don't understand. Because if you did, you wouldn't drop it before time.
That's right.
A man wouldn't hit the promised land before it was sealed with the promise of a ring. You walking around like a used car. You make it so easy to go around and kick the tires. You make it so easy for us to assess the situation. Then you get in competition with another one.
That's right.
Next you know, he really wants the same one. But you found out through the grapevine, through lying and coercion, that he got his eye on one of the ones out in the streets. Mm. He's walking around with a Coke bottle shake.
Right.
Wearing those new pants the ladies wear now.
No, not the pants.
The spandex or the stretches.
All spandex.
What do you call those things? And they walk around the whole uniform around. And so now, you think you're in competition.
Right.
You and your 40s, 50s, and God forbid, 60s, and you walking around the same way.
You better say it. Now that's, and it ain't good.
And you need all kind of stuff to look like them. You don't got to shout me out. And so now you're making it so easy. We sit back and say, okay, I take both of you because it's easy. But the man really want you. He wasn't attracted to that. He was attracted to what was in.
That's right. Right.
That's what happened to Samson. He could have got anyone. Matter of fact, he had a whole lot of them. But it seemed like we are always attracted to what's bad. Right is right in our face. Right is right there being ignored. We like it. Bad. We like bad, dangerous, mischief, dark, unpredictable. We like that because it brings action to my life. Yeah. Makes my heart wrinkles up. Then to come to the simple one of praising the Lord, I pray for you. This big, strong man of power, fame, wealth, and a ladies' man. You can't be that strong without little muscles. woman called Delilah, pretty one, didn't have no kind of moral values at all. And the Bible said this. Look at verse number 16. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with words. When she pressed him daily with words. Woman, I just gave you power. That's a weapon. Watch this here. Watch this here. And urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. He should have knew something was going on right then. 17 said that he told her all his heart. And he said unto her, there has not come a razor upon my head, for I am a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. When you play with the enemy, you will tell the enemy the deepest affectionate power and strength of you. You begin to share, open your heart unto them. But if you live for God, God will not allow you to do so. And you know the story. She told him, and she did this. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, verse 18, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistine, saying, come up this time, this once, because before he played with her, but now she knew that he told her the truth. Now, if he was not seduced by his own power, if he was not seduced by his own way of want the ladies and want the woman, if he was not seduced by the wealth and the money, he would not lose everything that God has trusted him with. Reason why that lady likes you, it ain't because of you. She's trying to cripple you. She's trying to destroy you. She's trying to kill you. She's trying to get you off course. What would take a man that was responsible to lead and to cover and to protect his family? Him being out of the will of God. And we love it until we are destroyed by it. We love it until it doers us in. Amen. And you know the story. He broke covenant with God. He broke covenant with God. And when you break covenant with God, you are open up to betrayal. You're open up to all kind of coercion. You're open up to all kind of things. You cannot perform your ordained responsibility when you break covenant from God. If you're going to be that man of God, you have to be in the covenant of God. The problem is a lot of us speak it and talk it and announce it, but we have not become it, and we are not walking in it. We think it's better on the other side. That's nothing but a trick from God. You better hear me, fathers. You better hear me, men of God. I'd rather stay in the fight if we have in turbulent time. You know, we ain't gonna like each other all the time. But when you are in covenant with God, you will stick to the covenant of God regardless of how they are behaving, because you love God more.
That's right.
We've been at war a whole lot of times, but we had God in the center of our lives and our relationship. And we had to honor God when things got ugly. You think you don't need God? If you want to be successful, you need God. Don't be fooled that you could do this on your own. The devil will allow you to have temporary success. The devil will get you promoted. The devil will put you in business. The devil will do a whole lot of things. But sustaining your life, he will not let it be so. And the Bible says he lost his strength. The reason why he lost his strength is because he lost his way. And when you lose your way from God, you lose your strength. You lose your power. And he was so weak. I'm talking about the same man that killed 1,000 Philistines with the jaw of an axe. He couldn't even kill a kid after he broke covenant. And the Bible said the very first thing they did after they bound him up, put his eyes out. And the thing that the devil does when you break covenant, he wants you to stop seeing the possibilities and the opportunities that God has afforded you.
That's right. That's exactly what he does.
So when you can't see, you stay who you are at that moment. When you can't believe, see, your ability to see in the future give you the opportunity to believe. And when his eyes was put out, it was over. It was over. It was over. He got seduced by the very things that God wants to bless every man with. God wants to bless every man with power. God said, I will make your name famous, Abraham. He said, I'll make your name famous. Don't you know that every man have an opportunity to make their name famous within their family when they do right by God? When you are a well of information, a well of wisdom, a well of power, don't you know that people in your family will want to come to you because they feel safe? But no, you started smelling yourself. Don't you know that God knows that you need the right woman, not lady? Don't you know God wants to establish his covenant with you and your wife that's a born again believer? God established his covenant with Abraham and Sarah, not Abraham and the handmaiden. Don't you know that God want to raise your name up? Don't you know that God want to make you powerful? Don't you know that God want to give you the right person with you to spend the rest of your life? Don't you know that God want to give you wealth? But when you break covenant, the Bible said it is hard for a man to work with his hands in the natural to achieve or to attain the things that God blessed him with. You need the power of God to maintain what faith got you. That's why when you get blessed and you backslide, you begin to lose everything. Because what you got it by faith. Samson was in prison and came to that reality. Samson was in prison and started repenting and started talking to God. Now he wants to be right with God. And they counted him out. But God is a forgiving God. God is a God of grace. You can make a mistake with God and he will bless you like you never left him. He was continuing to read the scriptures. He repented before God and apologized before God. And he said, God, place me in the place where you want me to be. In other words, God, I need. need for you to be my eyes. I need for you to be my vision. I need for you to be my tomorrow, my future. And they led him between the two columns, the two posts of the Colosseum. And they mocked him and laughed at him because he wasn't that Samson that they knew before, that was so strong and powerful, snatched off the gates of Gaza and carried them down the road. He wasn't that strong man again. But you cannot count him out because he had that memory that, God, if you did it to me before, you could do it again if I come right.
Yes.
And the Bible says he lifted up his eyes and looked unto heaven and asked God for help. And God gave him strength. Because when you start living for the Lord on your comeback trail, when you start living for your Lord after everybody counted you out, they will not see the old anointed you. They will see the weak you. They forgot his hair grew back. They forgot the covenant of a Nazarite. See, when the devil thought that he got you, he will forget that you're a child of God. And the only thing you got to do is open your heart and says, God, forgive me. I wronged you. I wronged my family. Yes. I wronged me. Forgive me, Lord. And the Bible says he killed more people. See, his purpose was to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. The Bible said he killed at that moment over 3,000 women and men that was enemies to God. More than he have done all his life. Because he repented. Because he stopped smelling himself. Because he was humbled. You better hear me, men of God. You better hear me. Don't be defined by your mistake. Don't be defined by you smelling yourself. Don't let that be your legacy. Don't let that be the last thing people say about you. Oh, he was a player. Oh, he was a gangster. No, you want them to say he was, but he was a man of God. Your family needs your humbleness. Your family needs your humility. Your family needs your consecration. Your family needs your repentance before God. Because God called you to be the covering over your family. If it's not your immediate family, it's your circular family.
That's right.
We is the answer to the problems in this earth. Can you imagine if all the men here rise up and become to be the priest of their family, their friends and circles? Can you imagine the influence that we will project? But the problem is, we have not redefined or even found our purpose. It's so narrow. For people to live up under your vision. For people to stand on your foundation and make a living and be blessed and live for God. God need me! It's not too late. It's not over. As long as you have breath in your body, it's not over for you to take your ordeal. in life, for you to be a man of authority, man of power, for you to be that one man of a woman, that one man of that lady, and for you to have wealth. Because if God can get it to you, he should be able to get it through you. He needs foundational men that can change people's lives over there, over here, up there, down there. Where's the Samson in you? We're physically stronger than women. We need to get stronger in prayer. That's the missing link. Us being men of God. M-O-G's. If you're an M-O-G and you're committed to be an M-O-G, regardless of you going through life or things you don't like, God will bless you with the power, with that woman that will satisfy you and fulfill you, and with the resources that will sustain you and others around you. All those men that want to reset or restart, you come to this altar.
Cover that woman, that lady.
like they never have before. They will be committed unto her, because that's God's child. God will restore your peace. He will restore your joy. He will illuminate your purpose. He will set your goals. Give me the blessed oil. Hold this mic up to me. Father, as I dip my hand in this oil, I surrender it unto you, dear God. I'm setting this apart for a specific purpose this day, this moment, that who I anoint now will be anointed as a king on this earth. They will take on the spirit of a Nazarite in the Old Testament days, that they will have the power, they will have the right person next to them, and they will have the right resources, because we surrender all unto you, dear God. I set them aside for the special work of being the priest, of being the king over their family and over their life circle, that they will dominate their purpose and their call. Receive it now, men of God. Receive it now, men of God. Receive it now, men of God. Receive it now. Everything that was taken away, God will restore unto you. Receive it now, men of God. I'm setting you aside right now. What was yesterday is there. What is today and forever, it is new. Receive it now.
Bless your name.
Receive it now.
Bless
the Lord. I believe in the power
from the crown of the head
of the Holy.